And here endeth the lesson for today. What a beautiful hymn, and what a glorious message that comes through that hymn. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, and he emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Jesus and all in him is mine. And I keep referring to the fact that Jesus took on flesh. He partook of flesh to become one of us. If he hadn't have taken on flesh, he could never have died and bled on that cross. Jesus and all in him is mine. And we partake of him through the Holy Spirit today. He has given us his Spirit from above that we might be guided and loved and know and feel the love of Christ before us today. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. That's what we're clothed in today, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8 in the New Testament. The question before us here is, are we the true vine that bears good fruit? You see, every one of us here this morning, I am quite sure, we all want heaven to be our eternal home. And the writer of Hebrews wants heaven to be our eternal home. He wants to make sure that we do arrive in heaven at the end of this life. This passage of scripture before us this morning speaks volumes about the truly saved believer and the lost soul. For the Christian, as with all of life today, we must grow and we must keep on growing. We must come to maturity. We must bear fruit. We must show Christ in our lives. For this is the mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. For it is impossible, the writer says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned, as Lana read from the Old Testament. This is a very serious position that we're in here this morning as we face this and look at this, because we can't help but the scriptures are speaking to us. As we read the scriptures are a mirror and they're looking back at us and saying, are you this person? Are you doing this or are you not doing this? Is this the way to heaven or is this the way to hell that I am travelling? The whole emphasis is on the reader of the scriptures, and he has taken us through two scenarios here. If we truly love Christ, we will long to know more of him. We will want to be like him, and that we might serve him, that we might be with him in glory for all of eternity. And yet, this seems so simple. We have the gospel message before us today, and it's so... appears so simple, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, he taught, he presented to us miracles from God. The Word became flesh, God in the flesh. And he told us the things that he would do for those who love him, that he was going to prepare a place for all those who love him in heaven. Their names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is great encouragement for us. The Saviour came and the Saviour died that we might enter heaven. But sadly, but tragically, tens of thousands have proven that to be content with just knowing the gospel message, with beginning well and acknowledging Jesus and what he has done, is just the first steps on a backward course that ends in losing all. That's what the scriptures are telling us today. We need to grow and we must press on to perfection. Press on to perfection. In 5:1, chapter 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for us. But we need to take stock of what we're doing with our lives today. We need to realise how important it is to reach that perfection. Look at the height some of the lost may have reached before their fall. There's two ways of looking at this. We're going to look at it from the scriptures, but you might think, righto, who were they? Well, we can think of King Saul, the first king of Israel, given a wonderful position, had the Spirit of God. But soon into his reign, he began to abuse it. And you read there where Samuel was ordered to go and anoint the next king. And who was the next king? A ruddy little boy called David. And the Spirit was taken from Paul and given to David. And of course we all know about Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. Lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, all of his ministry. Sold out his Saviour for 30 pieces of silver. But look at the scriptures before us today. For it is impossible for those who here was the first one, who were once enlightened, had tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. How many thousands have been enlightened by the scriptures, have tasted the promises of God, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit of God, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come? And then to the depths to which they sink, also written here, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. We all know and understand so clearly that Jesus died once for all. Once for all. You go back into the Old Testament under the law, they were bringing a sheep or a goat or something to be sacrificed for their sins yearly. It was the priest's full-time job in dealing with the sacrifices of the sins of man over and over and over again. It covered the sins. It didn't wipe them away. Jesus died to put an end to the sacrifice for the sins of man. So we can come to God and turn away and come back to God and turn away and come back to God? No. Because every time you turn around and come back to God, you're crucifying Christ again. And this is what this whole message in Hebrews is about. It's about getting hold of Christ, hanging on to Christ, and moving on with Christ, growing in Christ. Because our eternity depends on it. To all the persevering saints, the question is, do I know where I stand before God today? Am I hiding something before God today? Have I got a secret sin that I cannot let go of today? Is there something of the world that I can't get rid of that's damaging my walk with God today? How sure am I of eternal salvation? How sure am I of eternal salvation? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." But if we, the sheep, come out of the sheep pen, we're called by our great shepherd Jesus Christ, and we come out, and then we wander away and we do our own thing. We know from that story, anybody that's been on a farm today knows the dangers of wandering stock. The wolf, the lion is waiting to snatch and grab and destroy. Where Jesus Christ gives eternal life to a soul, that life cannot be lost because it's in Christ. He will not lose it. That's what that passage said. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And they follow me. So then, as truly saved followers of Jesus Christ, we will continue to persevere and to grow in our faith in Christ, who has our salvation secure. It will not fade away. So, we go back to the question, are we truly saved? Are we truly saved? Scripture warns us that it is possible to receive the grace of God in vain, to begin well and then fall away, like the Jews in the wilderness. They all gathered together, they painted the doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, and they come out and they went through the Red Sea, the great miracles of God leading them out into the wilderness. God showed them and took them to the very edge of the promised land. Go in and take that land. I'll be with you. I will give them into your hand. We'll send in 12 spies. We'll check it all out first, God. Come back and 10 out of 12 said, "No, we can't go in there. It's a beautiful country. The grapes and the bunches of grapes are so big we can hardly carry them. But the people are big. People are big, we can't take it." Remember when Jesus walked across the water to the apostles, the disciples in the boat, and Peter got so excited when he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Lord, can I come out and walk to you on the water?" And Jesus said, "Come." And we all know the story. He stepped down from the boat and he started to walk to Jesus. Halfway to Jesus, he took his eyes off Jesus. He felt the pressure of the wind, the waves of the water lapping around his ankles. And he looked away, and immediately he sank. And then we heard the famous fastest prayer spoken, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Jesus reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith." How many of us come and see Jesus Christ? We want to follow him, but the cares and the worries of this world, the things that we love in this world, overpower the love for Christ and darken our vision and draw us away. To begin well and then fall away is like the Jews in the wilderness. And we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. not to receive the grace of God in vain. In Galatians 5:1-9, stand fast, therefore, Paul says, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. The Jews were all circumcised. Paul took the message to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. The Jews were under the law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. Faith in following Jesus Christ. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Then Paul says something very important. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persecution does not come from him who calls you, from God. But he says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little sin will darken and destroy our walk with the Lord. So, we ask ourselves the question, how many hear the word of God with joy, but it does not take root in them? Like the sower and the seed, we can be moved emotionally. We want to do good without the heart being truly renewed. Our heart stays in the world. Understanding the gospel is not the equivalent of regeneration. Knowledge is not faith. Didn't Jesus say even the demons, or Paul said, didn't the demons know about God and about Christ and tremble? They know. Knowledge is not faith. We can have head knowledge without the heart being moved. We may know all about Jesus, but we may not have made him Lord of our life. The gifts of the Spirit of God may be received without his grace. Look at Judas Iscariot. The joy of knowing in the mind can be mistaken for life in the soul. What a tragedy. So that some who are accounted true believers by man may fall away beyond hope of renewal. So how can we know today where we stand before God, where our eternity lies today? Only by persevering, the perseverance of the believer, persevering in sainthood, persevering in sanctification and obedience. In Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, Christ as head of our house, of us, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We all cling to our physical life. None of us wants to die. Physically, we cling to life. What about our eternal life? That is, to strive to know him more, to love him more, to be obedient to him. So in all things we seek to glorify our Lord and our Saviour. Note, my assurance, if I had assurance, my assurance of salvation is not something that I carry with me like a bank card or a visa or something, like a ticket to be used when the occasion arises. Oh, I've got my ticket, I've got this extra ticket here that gives me clearance from this problem. But God's seal on my soul is the Holy Spirit. So we can't lay a finger on it. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It is my life in the Spirit, where my safety lies, where my eternity lies. As I partake of Christ, Christ's Spirit leads me, bears witness with my spirit that I can cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. Look, it's not hard to think of the dependence of little children today. When something goes wrong, where does he head? Straight to mum and dad. A child has confidence and faith and love, and his assurance is in his parents. And we here, mentioned here this morning, are called children of God. Children of God. So where's our faith? Where's our assurance? Where's our security? It's in God. Jesus not only gave his life for us, but he also but is himself our life and our spirituality. My assurance of salvation is in a living fellowship with a living Jesus in love and obedience to him. He died in the flesh and he lives spiritually. We all know about how he died on the cross and rose and went back to heaven as our great high priest. We die to sin in the flesh and we live spiritually in him. Verses 7 and 8. If we take freely all the blessings of God, like the earth that takes in the rain, but only for our own happiness, without bearing fruit, then we should fear the consequences. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also shall reap. Whose end is, according to the reading this morning from Isaiah, whose end is to be burned. This is how serious our commitment to Christ must be. For it is in growth, it's in fruitfulness, it's in discerning good and evil and pressing on to perfection in following the life of Jesus and his obedience to God's will that we know we have eternal life. This is our living faith in action. Not just a head knowledge, but a living faith in action. It's our certain hope. So let us give more earnest heed to our salvation. Give it in diligence to enter into that rest that God has prepared for us. God has promised to give to those who worship and serve him. So let us here today make it our vow to press on to perfection. I want to finish with a reading from Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verses 18. Therefore hear the parable of the sower, Jesus said. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in a stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen.